This is going to be part of the sermon today, some part of my Geico Sunday sermon. Everybody ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Good morning. Be seated. Enjoy. Take your shoes off and take your jacket off. It's a little warm today, so God's good. The sun's out. Getting close to spring weather. I mean, it's spring already, but hallelujah. Let's read together from Psalm 42. We're going to read God's word, Father's word. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why is so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar.
Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me.
By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me. Prayer to the God of my life.
Hallelujah. That's a beautiful line. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?
My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God?
I bet we've said that many times. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That's your God, amen? Your Savior, Jesus. And we're going to get ready for Victory Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Your Savior, your victory, you will praise him. He is your God. Hallelujah. This is so beautiful. It just like who we are. My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taught me. I mean, we're in that every day. We're battling every day. But you're going to praise God. You're going to give him praise for each day, for each answer. We're going to walk closer to God each day. That changes us. So when we change, the situations start to change. Whether anybody else has anything to do with it, because God is with us. Hallelujah. And God said, you will praise me yet. You will. I will show you. We need to remember. As many as the trials and tribulations that you left at the altar this morning, we need to remember everything that he did to get you from last Sunday to this Sunday. That starts the praise. Hallelujah. That starts the confidence. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to not speak from opinion for now. I'm just going to make you think. I think sometimes a good pastor should make his congregation think. Just wanted to talk to you. And this testimony is going to go along with the sermon. Amen? Oh, wait a minute. Did we forget? Did I forget something? No, we're good, right? Testimony, right?
Okay. You're good.
I just wanted to share this with you. As I said, it'll go along with the sermon, but I just wanted to make you think and not let you know what I'm thinking. It doesn't matter what I think, amen, and especially about this. It's about how you see it, but I just thought it would be interesting. And this comes from climate scientist Stefan Kraepelin, geologist and climate researcher, amen? And his name is Stefan, and as I always tell Dave, I always say, this guy's smarter than me, so I don't know, and I'm just saying, I'm sorry he's not available to you, but I just wanted to... Did anybody know, anybody ever hear about the axial tilt, A-X-I-A-L, tilt of the Earth, the obliquity of the Earth? That's what this guy studies. Currently, it's at 23.4 degrees. The Earth's axis remains tilted in the same direction with reference to the background stars throughout a year. Throughout its entire orbit, one pole will be directed away from the sun at one side of the orbit. 6 months later, this pole will be directed towards the sun to cause the seasons. Amen? Variations in the Earth's axis can influence the seasons and is likely a factor in, ready for this? Listen, climate change. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It says that the date of the seasons slowly change, and this is with scientists, I'm just reading with you, what he said, the date of the seasons slowly change over a 25,800-year cycle. I hope we're all around to see it. 25,800-year cycle where there is a switch. And it actually, according to science, a change in orientation of the rotational axis of a rotating body actually switches where summer will become winter and winter will become summer. But it happens every 25,800 years where the switch begins. Are you with me? I just wanted to... Now, the Sahara Desert. Anybody ever hear of the Sahara Desert? It wasn't always a desert. It wasn't. In this 41,000-year cycle, it's called, during the last glacial period, the Sahara was even bigger than it is today. And it says the climate features of the Sahara has undergone enormous variations between wet to dry over the last few hundred thousand years. It says the 41,000-year cycle can alter the Earth's actual tilt between 22% and 24.5%. At present, in the year 2000, it is dry. The desert is dry. But is it expected that the Sahara will become green again in 15,000 years? Recent signals indicate the Sahara and the surrounding region are greening because of increased rainfall. Satellite image shows extensive regreening of the shale between 1982 and 2002. Both in eastern and western Sahara, a more than 20-year-long trend of increased grazing areas are flourishing. Trees and shrubs, climate scientist Stefan Kropelin. I just want you to think when people start talking to you about climate change, because obviously it does change. If you look at the study of the Earth, you look at the study in the history. Now, these guys are telling us it's a 41,000-year cycle, a 25,000-year cycle, and it's all with the axis and the tilt of the Earth and the spinning of the Earth and our rotation around the sun and the angles of the sun. And our climate has to change. I mean, according to science, it has to change because the Earth is changing its tilt. Amen? And as it changes its tilt, to me, whether it's not about what you see on TV, I'm not talking about those people, I'm talking about what God created, amen? How God created this earth to do what it does, amen, around the sun and change, and the seasons change, and the land to change, and to land to go from dry to wet and back to dry again so that it replenishes what God has created, amen? Sometimes, you know, the Antarctica, they talk about that, the ice there and the ice in the North Pole are larger than it's been in the last 100 years. Well, maybe it wasn't 1,000 years ago. But I see that as God taking care of what he's created. Amen. I see it bigger than what somebody on TV might want. And I wonder, what are they looking for? Because they never mention God. They never mention this. I've never heard this mentioned. So when I looked up this, I said, this is really interesting to go along with what we're preaching today. Because where does our Father live? Hallelujah. He created this. He created this in perfection. Perfection. He created the waters of every river run into the ocean all over the world, but the ocean never overflows. The water from the ocean comes up in a storm and comes and waters all the land, but the water's not salt anymore. It's fresh water. Amen? Now, you can think that that was an accident, but I think that's the creation. I think that's how God created what we live in today, what we call Earth. Amen? I see it as God saying, I created this to do this for this reason. Amen? So a man doesn't want to see God in any of that. He doesn't even give God a thought about any of that. He's just saying that we're doing something to change what God has already done to change. Now, we can muddy up the sky with the pollution and everything. We do that. But how many of you lived in the valley? I've lived in the valley all my life, and I know over here in Shelton, there were at least a dozen smokestacks back in the 60s. I mean, factories in Ansonia and Derby, smokestacks and all kinds of pollution in the rivers. In the last 60 years, this is so, the Housatonic has got trout in it. The Naugatuck River's got salmon in it. I think man is trying to fix the pollution. But as far as climate change, I think God is in control of the climate change. And I'm just saying that to you, not to give you my opinion. What I think doesn't matter, but just to make you think. I think a good pastor sometimes should make you think about what God created, our God. Amen? So let's just pray. Lord, thank you, Father, that we know, that we believe and we know, and you've given us evidence each day to prove that you created something so beautiful for us, so much greater than the little things we pray for. You created the heavens and the earth. You created the climate. You created the weather. You created the rain. You created and made the seas go into their position and not override. You created the mountains and the trees. You created things to reproduce for us without us doing anything about it. You created things that took care of itself without us doing anything about it. You send water to plants that we don't even water. We don't even know what the animals know. The animals need it. You've created things for us. You created perfection for us. You, our Father in heaven, the one we pray to. Today is a Gaku sermon today. Well, you're going to say, yeah, I already know that. Everybody knows that. I hope you say that to everybody knows that. But, we forget. When we say, our Father who art in heaven, who he is and what he's done for whatever. And the problems in your life are serious. The problems in my life are very serious. In my wife's life, very serious. But to God, it's like a mustard seed of him. He just fix it. He just says, trust me. I know what you're going through. He says, our Father in heaven says, trust me. You just look around what I've created. I can take care of that. I need you to trust me. I need you to look at what I've done to know what I can do. When you truly talk about me, to know how you know that you know in your heart. That changes you to see God in this way. Today, I'm more excited today about this sermon because I'm just talking about God. I love him. I love Jesus. Next week's Palm Sunday and Lord of God, Easter or Resurrection Sunday, I want them to be ready to understand even more, to be ready to accept and to enjoy our victory. Our victory with the Lord Jesus, our Savior. So we say today, Lord, just to look at this and to know that science proves you right. Science never proves you wrong. Science always proves you right. And the amazing miracles that you created, how they fall into place so perfectly. And then you created us because you want us in your image. Not that we look like you, but the spirit inside of us, the person we are, the compassion, the love, the giving, the sharing, the caring. That's your image. To lift others up, that's your image. To help others, that's your image. The more we do that, the more we tell people about you, the more we change the people around us, and they change people around them, and they change people around them. These churches in the world should be full of people hungry for you instead of full of people telling people what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. They should be just full of you, full of your word, just preaching the word of God. Nothing more needs to be added. Today we're just going to talk about you in this beautiful room that you blessed us with. Lord, I pray that hearts realize and be open and just receive and to enjoy today. Just sit back and enjoy. We've been on them about change. We've been on them about what they can do in faith. And we've been on them about just standing strong and standing firm in you and not let the situation control us. Today, we're just going to hear about our Father and his Son. It's a beautiful day. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray they hear it.
Hey, how many know that there's disagreements in church? Amen? How many know that you don't always get along with your brother and your sister in church? Amen? It's impossible to do that. God didn't tell us. But God said when there's a disruption to come together and look at him. Amen? Let him be the reason. Let him be the reason we come back. Amen? Make us stronger. Because the Bible tells us about Paul and Barnabas. They were angry at each other because of Mark. Remember that story I read to you in the book of Luke? They were angry, but they didn't pull away from God. They just pulled away from each other for a minute and got focused on God, and God brought them back together. Amen? So we need to keep the church and we need to keep the congregation strong in Jesus and not look at everything or any little thing, because we're all going to have little things that come against us, and we're all going to get a little burr on our side sometimes. We're all going to get disappointed sometimes. Amen? Yeah. We're all going. Brother Gary's getting ready to do Bible studies. I've been praying for him since the get-go because I know he's going to get disappointed sometimes. He's going to get a little flustered sometimes, and I want him to be strong knowing he's doing it for God. And I know that he's doing it for God, but I keep him praying and focused because it's just a beautiful thing as we grow together. Amen? We're growing together. Doesn't mean we're all, you don't get along with your family, so don't allow to get along with everybody all the time. But we need to rise up from the silliness of a disagreement, amen, and come together for the good of God and for the good of the church, amen? Because when it comes down to it, no matter what the disagreement, when somebody gets sick, we rally around them, amen? We rally around and pray for them, and that's what church is all about. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, sit back and relax. In the beginning, baseball. I always say that's baseball in the Bible. Should be a separation between big and inning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Knowledge, amen? Knowledge. The Bible says not to make it say something it doesn't say, but you got to use wisdom and knowledge. You're talking about God, amen? He called it the first day. Let me tell you what the Bible says. It could have been 200,000 years that he created the light and then separated the light, amen? It could have been 100,000 years. It could have been 500,000 years. We don't know the answer to that, do we? God called it a day. Oh, we know what a day is. It's 24 hours. Are we smarter than God? He just said he created it and called it a day. But at that just didn't happen. Like, did anybody see the movie Noah last year? Did anybody see the Noah movie that was out last year? There was a part in there that just maybe, he was in a desert. Noah was in a desert. I'm saying it wasn't desert where he was, but it was a desert. And all of a sudden, a drop of rain came out of the sky, and these oak trees literally came up from the ground and were 30 and 40 feet tall like that. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Whatever grew like that. Whatever mind would say that that's how it... I mean, oak tree. Am I telling the truth? Oak trees coming out of the ground 40 feet tall in like 3 seconds. So this is a cartoon. Because even if somebody didn't believe in God, they would have to believe it. That didn't happen that way. Oh, there they are.
There it is.
How many people I've hear all the time, oh, you Christians think the earth is only 6,000 years old. So where'd you get that from? From somebody else who talked to somebody else who told somebody else? 6,000, and there might be some churches preaching that, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." God is separating the water and the air and the waters in the sky. He's separating it, making a space, making an atmosphere, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Firmament just means atmosphere, just the difference. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. He called it heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. That could have taken 100,000 years. It just said that was... There was no time. Did God have a Rolex on? No, he didn't have a watch on. There was no time for... Oh, that was the second day. Oh, it's 48 hours now. It could have taken 100,000 years for the firmament to get right. Amen? He started a process. He started a biological process. And he wanted the process to be ready. Perfect. So he didn't snap his finger and make it. That wouldn't bend. That wouldn't be logical. So he separated it. And he called it heaven. He called the heavens. Hallelujah. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. You understand what he just did? He separated the land and the water. He let the land form. He let the waters recede into the sea. He formed the sea, and he made the sea perfect. The gravitational pull of the earth is a lot retrospect because of the weight of the water in the sea. Amen? The way he created the sea holds us together, and he created the land. That could have taken 100,000 years. It could have taken 500,000 years. There was no time. Amen? He called it a day. But what he did was making perfection. He made the land. And if anybody ever sees when snow melts, just because it's land, you can't walk on it. Amen? It was still wet. It was still moist. It wasn't anything that could be used. It was just separating. He called it. And he said it was good. Then God said, let the earth, listen to what he said now. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herbs that yield seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit, whose seed is inside itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. He made the seeds, the trees, the grass. Not only just created it, but he made it so each plant seeded itself. You know, he didn't need us. I mean, you get to what I'm saying right here. He didn't need us to say, everybody knows that. I want you to see God today. I want you to see your God. The God that you're praying to for your job, for your family, whatever you're praying. I want you to see the enormity of your Father. Where does he live? I want you to see it today in a way that just makes you say, oh, God is amazing. My Father is the greatest Father in the world. He made the land and then he seeded it. If he put the seeds in the trees before he made the land, what would have happened? Nothing. If he made the trees before he made the light, what would have happened? Nothing. You see the perfection? You see, he needed light first. He needed light first for anything to grow. He needed the light first, then the water. Hallelujah. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament. I love this. In the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night. Let them be for signs and seasons. He's telling us he made the stars, but he made them for a reason. For signs and seasons and for days and years. He's making them for days and years. And he said, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and the face of the earth and the firmaments of heaven. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, in which the waters were abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. He created these animals according to their kind. He didn't change them. He didn't make them to change. He made them according to their what? Their own kind. He made the animals according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. There's no time. He still doesn't have a Rolex on. Amen. He created them and told them to multiply. How many years do you think that took? 20, 40, 100, maybe it took 100,000 years. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Somebody says 6,000 years, say, your knowledge and the way to explain something like this may bring somebody to God you didn't. One word you might use from something to make somebody say, gee, I never thought of that. Are you with me? Everybody knows that, but does everybody know that? So sometimes it's a word you can use to bring somebody to God in a different way. Hallelujah. He made the creatures with eyes, with hearing, with knowing, with breathing, with lungs. He made them all with the things that they needed to live. Amen? Every particle of their body he created so that they could live. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and things, beasts of the earth, according to its kind. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female that he created. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Hallelujah. Then what did he do on the seventh day?
Rest.
He rested. Do you think he needed rest? Somebody said, yeah. God rested. Rested from what? I think he's telling us that 6 days of work, we need a day of rest. Amen. I'm telling you, you overwork yourself, you stress yourself out, you overwork yourself, your family suffers. You think the little extra money you're bringing home is something, but you've lost time with your family, you lost time with your wife, your husband, your children. You work so hard and you strive so hard, and then you get to a certain age and you get sick. Why? Because you work so hard. You give up time, and money is important, but I'm telling you something. You might say you agree or you don't agree, but I see a lot of people out in the world who are millionaires that are really suffering, really lost, really don't know what to do with themselves. They can't figure out what to do with their life, amen? So money isn't the thing that gets you through. It's love, amen? It's love that gets you through. That's the thing. So God said the rest. I'm reading from John now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was who? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without Jesus nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is the light. Amen? That's what it's telling you. It's right there. It tells you over and over again. Jesus is the light, and it shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend him. People who did not want to know God and Jesus turned away from him. Amen. They didn't understand who he was. Are you with me? They didn't understand who he was. The Bible's telling us that the darkness is going to not comprehend him. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and through all him might believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why study what we know, Pastor Larry? To make you think. To want you to know more about Jesus. Knowledge in God leads others who are lost, who hunger, who thirst for God. Amen? A teacher never knows. Listen to this. This is so real. You'll understand. A teacher never knows what that one thing said or taught that turns on the light of understanding. Many years ago, I picked up the guitar. My daddy gave me a few lessons. Trying to learn some chords, trying to learn progressions. Greg will appreciate this. In my daddy's store was a book by Mel Bay. You ever get the Mel Bay book? Remember Mel Bay? 101 Music, Mel Bay. I looked at the book. I turned the book on the back page, and there was a chord chart. And it said the key of G. And the first chord you look for is the C in the key of G. And then it says D, 7, is the second chord. And then it says for the first minor chord would be an A minor. And the second minor chord would be an E minor. And it showed the musical progression of each key. Now, I probably could have went for lessons for a year and not learned all that. But as I looked at that, and then I looked at the key of C, and I said, oh, if it's on, because I used to say, well, how do you know what chords to play just because it's in what key? And I'm looking at this little back page, and it says the key of C. And it says, well, the first chord you look for is an F, and the next chord's a G7. So people say now, when you hear a song on the radio, how can you play it? I said, because I found a Mel Bay book when I was a kid, and as long as I know the key the song is in, and I find it on my guitar, I know the chords that follow it. I know the progression. That's why I asked you about that chord. That's a beautiful change. Now, there's beautiful changes. We do some songs, we do Till There Was You, that has a beautiful... Some songs we play that have beautiful changes because they don't go along with the rhythm of the song and that music, and it sounds beautiful, and it changes what you're hearing. But that Mel Bay book was like a Bible to me. That one page. So I tell you, why do we study this? Why am I studying this with you today? Because I want you to have knowledge. I want you to have confidence. I want you to know more about your Father in heaven, what He created. When you go home and you pray tonight, or wherever you're going and you pray, I want you to understand who you're praying to. Amen? I want you to believe this. I want you to believe it in your heart. I can't make you believe it. But you look at this again, and I got it here. I won't go through it again. But you look at what He created, how He created it, and how the perfection was. He didn't do one before the other. He did the one that needed to be first, then the next, and then the next. God created that. Amen? Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the first book was Genesis. You know who wrote Genesis? Moses. Moses. Y'all believe in Moses? Well, we all know Moses exists. The person who wrote the second one I read was John, the Apostle John. He wrote that. I want you to think of those two people. Stay with me. I notice that this is so beautiful. I'm hungry to tell you this. My heart yearns to tell you this. I want you to think of a child that loves you different than your other children or your grandchildren who love you. There might be one who loves you different than the other grandchildren. Miss Gladys, maybe you don't say nothing. Don't you get yourself in trouble today. But you got one who loves you so much that they sit right next to you, Jackie. They sit on your lap. They want to be where you are. They want to hear you talk. Teach me fishing. Teach me about this, Grandpa. Teach me about this, Daddy. Teach me about this. And they listen. Every word, they listen. They want more. Now, the other grandchildren love you. And other children love you. You might have four children. One of them, you just like, is just wrapped around you because they cherish you. Amen? Are you with me? Listen to it. Then you think what I just read to you, those two people, Moses and John. Moses. Who did Moses speak to that nobody else spoke to? God the Father. And he didn't just go up to the mountain for a day. Okay, it was a day then. He didn't go up to the mountain for a day. They said he was gone so long that the people were all said he wasn't coming back. He was gone for months. Amen? He was up there on the mountain for months. Who is he talking to? God. Who else talked to God? Nobody. He spent time sitting there, the burning bush. Who knows what he was looking at? Amen? We say the burning bush, but who knows? And he was sitting there and he was talking to God. And God said, Moses, let me tell you. Let me teach you. You're here, just you and me. Moses had God's ear for months. Amen? God, Moses wrote this in the beginning. In the beginning, God created. How could he know that? God must have told him. Is it in the Bible? No. But what would common sense tell you if he spent that time with God? Your father and where? Come on. Now the second one is John. And here's where my heart gets so full. John. Miss Karen, you know what the Bible says? All the disciples called John. He had a nickname. They didn't call him John. They said he was the one whom Jesus loved. Oh, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Right, Bernie? That's what they said about John. The disciple whom Jesus loved. When all the disciples were doing all their work and they were running here because Jesus wants to do this. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to play this music and they're going to do this. Where was John? Laying on his lap. Sitting next to him. Jesus, I could just see it. I could see. Come on, you could see it. You could see Jesus just rubbing his hair. John's got his, he's saying, you know, man, I just want to be here. I just want to be with you. I don't want to be anywhere else right now. I love you so much. And so he sits there. And Jesus rubbing his hair, I could just see it. It's not in the Bible that he rubbed his hair, but my God, I can see it. And Jesus is talking to him. And John is saying, look. Tell me about heaven. Tell me about your Father. Tell me. And he's saying, in the beginning was the Word. I was with my Father. And we created this. We created all this. I was with him. And I named. With him, nothing was named. And I was the light. I was the one that sat by my Father's side. I was there to create all this. And he says to him, share it with my people. You're the one who needs to share it because the others love me. but they haven't taken this time. So when you read John, when I read that, I'm reading about somebody who just wanted to know Jesus. To know him in a way that you understand with the children, whatever you got, you just need to see the difference between Paul and David and all those other people who did great things in the Bible. These two people that gave us this. Hallelujah. Are you with me? The love of God. Can I take one more minute? I know, would you please let me do this, because my wife heard me laughing, and I'm sorry. I just want to read this to you, because we just said this. I just want to read something to you. I just want to, this is from NASA, Stardate magazine. I just want to read what we just talked about, and I want you to read what man says. And just listen. Observations by Hubble Space Telescope and ground-based instruments show that the first galaxies took shape as little as about 1 billion years after the Big Bang. 1 billion years, as little as, which probably, it says, took place about 13 billion to 14 billion years ago.
Probably.
And then it says this I'm reading, it says, there are two leading theories. Leading what?
Theories
to explain how the first galaxies formed. And then it says the truth may involve a bit of both ideas. One says that galaxies were born when vast clouds of gas and dust collapsed under their own gravitational pull, allowing stars to form. The other, which has gained strength in recent years, said the young universe contained many small lumps of matter, which clumped together to form galaxies. Hubble Space Telescope has photographed many such lumps, which may be the precursor to modern galaxies. According to this theory, this what?
Theory.
Most of the early large galaxies were spirals, but over time, many spirals merged into ellipticals. The galaxy's formation process has not stopped. Our universe continues to evolve. Small galaxies are frequently gobbled up by larger ones. The Milky Way may contain the remains of several small galaxies that has swallowed during its long lifetime. The Milky Way is digesting at least two small galaxies even now and may pull in others over the next few billion years. Hallelujah. And it says at the end, one bit of evidence, supporting the merger theory is the larger number of ellipticals and dense clusters of galaxies, which mergers may be common. Two giant ellipticals dominate the center of the densely packed Coma cluster, for example. At the heart of the Virgo cluster contains three giant ellipticals that each span almost 1 million light years. 186,000 feet per second, light years. Hallelujah. And then it says this, mergers, and listen, this is what they say, mergers can take anywhere from a few hundred million to a few billion years to complete. They can trigger intense bursts of new formation and then create gigantic black holes.
Who can prove it?
They might be off by a billion years or so, maybe 100 million years here, a billion years there. Why don't they talk about God? Why do they leave God out? I don't know. Why is man afraid of God? I don't know. Why the formations of God? I don't know.
You can only speculate for yourself. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Sir John Frederick Herschel, an English astronomer looked at the stars, he discovered over 500 stars. He discovered them. All human discoveries, he says, seems to be made only for the purpose of confirming more and more strongly the truths that come from on high and are contained in the sacred writings. This man saying that. All human discoveries seem to be made only for the purpose of confirming more and more strongly the truths that come from on high and are contained in the sacred writings. And I love this part. His father, Sir William Herschel, also a renowned stargazer, rightly insisted, listen to this, the undevout astronomer must be mad. Anybody who's an astronomer looks at that without God in their hearts, He's saying, must be mad. Hallelujah. Our Father, where?
Heaven.
Holy be His name. Thy kingdom come. He created for us. He, the person you pray to every night, the person that you worried won't listen to you, the person you think can't do what you want him to do. Hallelujah. And this is one other quote. How can anyone lose who chooses to be a Christian? If when he dies, there turns out to be no God and his faith was in vain, he has lost nothing. In fact, he's been happier in life than not believing friends. If, however, there is a God and a heaven and a hell, then he has gained heaven and his skeptical friends will have lost everything in hell. Everybody knows that. I just want you to think more about your Father when you talk to him. I want you to see. I want you to hear what he has for you. Moses and John told us so. Amen. Give him praise. And sometimes it's one word that you didn't hear, one little thought that you didn't have before that opens up doors and doors of want, desire, and teaching and understanding. With more knowledge about God, you can talk to other people who are hungry, truly hungry for what the knowledge you have, truly hungry for the Word of God. They're truly hungry. Trust me, those people out there are hungry to hear something good come to their lives. You can do that with more knowledge and just knowing who our Father is and what He created. Look at the world and see the beauty of it. Then you say, boy, that's my Father. And He's up there in heaven. And Jesus came and walked on this planet with us. He walked in this dirt and this soil with us. He mixed with us and helped and prayed and talked to us and taught us our Father in Jesus. Next week and the week after are the two biggest weeks, the two biggest celebrations as a Christian. Celebrating Palm Sunday with Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and then of course Resurrection Sunday when we have victory over death and the promise of His Son sitting at the right hand of His Father. Thank you, Lord. He took the bread, He blessed and broke it and gave it to His disciples. They were looking at Him and He said, this is my body being torn for you. As He tore the bread, He said, eat and do this in remembrance of me. Clang. Just remember, I'm the pastor of the church, but you're the soldiers. When you leave here, I don't know what you do from today until next Sunday. You have the people you can talk to, the places you go to work, the people you meet at restaurants. You have a chance to be a soldier for God. Amen? That's your job. My job is to help you, to teach you, to read His Word, to make you think. But your job is to go out and tell people good news, because more and more people are hungry for that good news. Amen? And as you tell people that good news, it also takes your mind off your problems. Amen? It takes your minds off your stress. And that's, see, God is working two things at the same time. Hallelujah.